already started to come for Krishna's appearance day. Most properly, this day is one of the most important for all of us Vaishnavas. Let me just adjust this a little. Manu, maybe you can just bring it a little more up than it. No, up means, you know, pull it.
Go inside.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
This?
Yeah, if it goes like this, it won't have the leverage. Sorry. Most probably, this is one of the most important days which we celebrate in our tradition, the appearance day of Krishna. We will celebrate this on Monday, but starting from yesterday onwards, Friday, now Saturday, and then Sunday, we will try to prepare ourselves for this very, very important event. In our scriptures, we often find two dimensions of this event, not one, but two. The first is obviously that we celebrate Krishna's appearance more than 5,000 years ago. But devotees of Krishna don't want to just celebrate it like a historical event which is hidden away in the distant past. Something which the sacred books and the history books talk about as a past event, something which has not much significance for us today. No, we don't want to leave it like that. Obviously, that's enough reason to celebrate. God came to this world 5,000 years ago. It's a good theme. But the Gita says that anyone who understands the glories of Krishna's appearance, even today, he will experience how the Lord again makes his appearance, but this time in his heart, and he frees such a devotee quickly, very quickly, from the repetition of birth and death, which is so unnecessary for the eternal soul. So preparing yourself for Jamashtami means in a way to put your human concerns, your human thoughts, your human plans on second place, and put on first place this one thought: who is the Lord for me? Who is Krishna for me? What is the significance of Krishna today in my life? And the moment we think about these matters, something starts to happen in us. Something which we could call a sacred transformation. The moment you put a seed into the earth, something starts happening. The seed will begin to draw nourishment from the earth. It will start to grow. It will pierce through the layers as a young plant. It will grow more and more. It will start to develop a little bud, eine kleine Knospe, and then it will start to bloom and blossom. So the moment you take Krishna serious. That is, the moment you relate Krishna to you, or you relate yourself to him, something happens, like what I tried to describe with the analogy of the seed turning into a flower. Something in you happens. Your consciousness begins to blossom. Weil das so ein wichtiger Punkt ist, möchte ich das noch einmal in der Muttersprache von vielen von euch wiederholen. Den Augenblick, wo ihr euch denkt in Beziehung zu Krishna und Krishna in Beziehung zu euch, also eure Beziehung, fängt ein kleiner Same an zu wachsen im Bewusstsein, der irgendwann zu einer voll erblühten Blume wird. Something happens. And it is this transformation, this change, this ever-going possibility of the, or this invitation to all of us to grow to our full potential, to our fully, what is called in Sanskrit, Purna Vichachika Chetana, the fully blossomed stage of consciousness. That is something I want to discuss today and tomorrow, by bringing to your awareness a wonderful work. It's a little bit more than 100 verses long. It is called Nectar for Krishna's Ears, and it is spoken, or better, sung by a person who had undergone this amazing consciousness transformation, this amazing miracle of coming from a relatively mundane consciousness to the highest fully blossomed state of consciousness, where actually he could say, Krishna, I have you in my hand. Or, Krishna, I had you in my hand. And somehow, Krishna, you have torn yourself away from my hand. But this is not a great heroic act. I'm a weak old man and you are young. I would consider you a hero only if it would be possible for you to remove yourself from my heart. Imagine, the person who spoke this verse, Krishna, you may have pulled yourself away from my hand, but you can't pull yourself out of my heart. This verse was spoken by a person who was so involved in material consciousness that you wouldn't believe it. But the fact that he could transform is an encouragement to all of us, so that we can also make this journey from a person in material consciousness, or a little bit, no one here has really is totally absorbed in material consciousness, but from the level where you are, you can transform to the highest level. And we will hear about this. First, I want to sing the song, Jai Radha Madhava, and then we will start. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Kunyavihara Jaya Radha. Pidana Vallava Giri Varada Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Namunatira Vanachari Namunatira Vanachari Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Oh, Krishna Krishna. Hare 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 Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare 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 Krishna. Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna. Hare 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 Rama. Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna
Hai go hai go
Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Gauranithai, Jaya Gauranithai, Gauranithai, Jaya Gauranithai. Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Sri Radhe Gaur Prema Nandi Hari 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 Go Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nithi Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Vacharine Nivishesha Shunyavani Paskadhyane Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The sacred book which we are going to hear about today and tomorrow is something like a key to Lord Krishna's heart. It is known as Krishna Kanamrita, nectar for Krishna's ears. It pleases Krishna to hear this work, because the verses in it were spoken from a totally ecstatic heart. In spiritual literature, these type of words are described, are said to be Udgurna. Udgurna means it's something like the lava which comes flying out of an active volcano. So these words come out of a devotional heart, and just like lava is able to ignite fire wherever it falls or rolls, these words can also inspire devotion in the heart of a devotee. This work is so important that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the father of our Krishna consciousness movement, the avatar of Prema Kirtan, of loving Kirtan, has said that this book alone is sufficient to bring you to the ecstatic level of Krishna consciousness. And he has said to one of his greatest devotees, Ramananda Roy, "This book, you must know, supports everything which I came here to teach in this world." It is very interesting how he was finding this work, and I will start here. It was during a tour through South India where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had visited many temples and danced in these temples in the ecstatic love of Godhead. So on his tour, he had arrived at the banks of a river called Krishna Veni. And there, on the sand or on the grass, I do not know, but under the shady trees, it must have been palm trees, he saw a large assembly
of Brahmanas who were reciting or singing hymns. And as they were singing this, tears of love came out of their eyes and they were trembling. They were so much moved by what they heard. And Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, felt drawn to this and sat there and heard what they were recited. And after this, he was, after hearing this, he was so enthused by the text that he found a copyist who wrote the text of Krishna Kanamrita, of this work, which the Brahmanas were reciting, on palm leaves. You know, nowadays when we want a copy, we go to the photocopy shop, or any, that's old. Now we go and make click, 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 and all of a sudden it's on our computer. But at that time, copying a work was a real heavy task. You needed to find someone who had the materials, leaves which were prepared, ink which was specially prepared, and who then would take a feather or a sharp twig and just write on these palm leaves. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had this book copied, and he carried it with him. And wherever he met devotees, he said, "You must copy this book." When he came back to Jagannath Puri, where all many, many devotees waited for him, he told them, "All of you, copy this Krishna Kanamrita." And another book which he brought, the Brahma Sanghita. His biographer, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, has two verses. Kanamrita samavastu nahi tribhuvane joha hoite hoyo Krishna shuta prema jnane. It's old Bengali. There is no comparison to this work, Krishna Kanamrita, within the three worlds. You can go to all the libraries in the three worlds. You will not be able to find a book which can compare to it. By just immersing yourself in this book, one is elevated to the knowledge of Shuddha Prema, pure love. You know, one gets this pure love. Anyone who constantly reads this can fully understand the pastimes of Lord Krishna. That means you see it directly before your eyes. You have a direct darshan, a direct vision of the Lord and his fascinating pastimes. Just by going through the sadhana, sadhana means spiritual practice of reading these works. So the immediate question is, how did this book, which describes Krishna so beautifully, how did it come into existence? How were these verses composed? What is the magic which of these mantras which are in there, which have such a power that they can attract Krishna's attention immediately? Who's the author? The author lived in he's quite mysterious when he lived between the 8th and the 13th century, between 800 and 1300. That's a long span. But if you hear about him a little bit more, you will see, yes, he is a mystic.
the writer, and everything about him is quite something special. What is most special about the writer is that he was born as Shilhana Mishra on the river Krishnaveni, at the spot where the Brahmanas, that's the same river where this book was found, the palm leaves was found. And Shilhana Mishra underwent a total transformation through bhakti, which made him maybe the greatest saints, one of the greatest saints amongst the lovers of God. He turned from a person who was really in material life, and we will soon hear a little bit about him, to the greatest transcendentalist. Now, as we look on transformation and think, I would like to also experience some of transformation in my heart. I would like to become free from my anxieties, free from my countless material desires. I would like to become also a lover of God. We need to see, what does transformation mean? What are we looking at? What do we mean with transformation? Well, the very often given example in the Sanskrit language, but also in the European tradition, where the alchemists were thinking of transformation, the most common used example, which is a cross-cultural example, you find it in other words in all cultures, is the transformation of iron into gold. This is what transformation means. You take one substance and it turns into something totally new. In spiritual language, it means you do not think any longer yourself to be a part of this world. You understand, whoop, you are eternal. You are part of God. You have the same quality of the Lord. You are not concerned with birth and death. You are immortal. And this is not a theoretical concept. You feel like this. You get new thoughts. You have new values and new desires. You have new behaviors. You act differently. You have new dreams, and you even have a new life. Something has transformed. Something has changed. And the example of this really is Bilva Mangala Thakur. Yes. He made a classical journey, a spiritual journey, which took him from being a materialist to a spiritualist to a lover of God. Three stations were there. Let us start. He had a very high birth. He was born to a Brahmana who was named Ramdas, and he had access to the best education which was at that time available. He learned in the best Sanskrit schools the scriptures. And it made him so renowned that he opened many monasteries and even temples. He describes, I've written this down in his own language, I was worshipped and I was placed on a high golden throne. This is also a high throne, but it is not made entirely of gold, at least not that I see. I was placed on a golden throne by the, by those on the path of monism. These are the Advaita sannyasis. No? And I was initiated into self-realization through the yoga system. But something happened to me. I had been forcibly turned into a young maid servant by some cunning boy who's always joking with the gopis. In other words, he says, I was worshipped by those who were really great on the path of self-realization, but then a little boy came to me and turned me totally around, and I'm now his devotee. You will be interested. What is this? What is happening? Well, he lived on the western bank, as I said, on the Krishna Veni. He was very opulent, and he was a great philosopher. And he wrote verses about this Advaita system. You know, we are all one with God, and he was worshipped. He was very high in high esteem. But then something happened. He would always hear from the other side, the eastern side of the Krishna Veni, someone singing very beautifully and very artfully. It was a sweet voice, the voice of a woman. Her name was Chintamani. She would sing in public, and she would also be at the will of rich men. Also, sie war reichen Männern zu Willen. In German, you would say, eine Edelprostituierte. You know, a very high-ranking courtesan. One day, Shilhana Mishra said, what is this singing? When his assistants told him, he said, I must see this woman. When he saw Chintamani, he immediately felt a desire in his heart which was previously not known to him. He was a very elevated person, a brahmana. He had been married at that time. But what he felt for Chintamani was beyond words to explain. He became so fascinated by her that soon he left his position and his office, you know, his state, his place where he wrote and where he studied, and he lived with Chintamani. This gave so much pain to his father Ramdas and all his relatives. Our son, who's so well known, is living in the house of Chintamani, that Ramdas couldn't tolerate the pain any longer and died. The next day, a lonely woman went on a boat across the Krishna Veni River to Chintamani. It was the wife of Bilva Mangala, and she pleaded, Chintamani, give me my husband back for only one day. It is the day where he will cremate his father Ramdas. After this,
He can go back to you if he wants. Chintamani, who was, you know, also an amazing personality, said, "Oh yes, yes, by all means, take your Shilhana Mishra." So Shilhana Mishra then went and performed the cremation ceremony with Ram Das of his father. By that time, at the end of the ceremony, a storm started. The sky became clouded. Rain fell down like I don't know how, like very heavy rain. But Shilhana Mishra was urging the priest, make haste, do your rituals fast, fast, fast. I need to go back to Chintamani. So the priest, knowing that Shilhana Mishra was rich and influential, did everything very hasty and very fast. He cut the ceremonies short. And then Shilhana Mishra, he's known at that time still by this name, went to the river Krishnaveni. There was no bridge and there was no boatman. The river had turned into a, how do you say this in English? Ein reißendes Ungeheuer in German. A monster. There were so many waves. There were so many currents in the river that no one could cross the river at that time. But Shilhala Mishra said, "I have two choices. I either wait here and then I will die because I long to see Chintamani. I must see her. We are made for each other. Or I swim and maybe I drown, but maybe I make it. If I make it, I can see her. So if I don't swim, I will die. And if I swim and I can make it, I can see her. I take the risk." So he jumped into the river Krishnaveni and he started to fight against the current, against the waves. The whirlpool was swimming like one possessed. He was possessed with desire, blinded by desire. He was swimming, and when he became tired and he was just about to sink, something floated by, which he thought is a log of wood. So he caught on this log and he made it by the help of the log to the other side. When he went out of the river trembling and freezing, he looked back and he saw this was not a log of wood. This was the dead body of a human being. Some commentators say it was the dead body of his own wife, who had gone when she saw her husband was missing at the cremation ceremony. She had gone to the Krishnaveni, and not seeing anyone, in great grief, she had thrown herself in the river water and drowned. Very tragic. Then he came to the house of Chintamani, but Chintamani had locked the wall, the door in the wall, and thinking Bilva Mangala or Shilhana Mishra will not come in this stormy night, and she had gone in her room and taken the lights out. So no matter how he called, no one could listen to him. So then he looked. I must crawl this wall. What he found was something which looked like a plant, which came out of a crevice, ein Spalt. So he took this and went up. He went up to the top of the wall, and by now he was so out of any strength that when he looked back, he was out of strength. So he looked back. How did I come up? And he saw this was not a plant. This was not a liane or something. It was the tail of a dangerous snake, which I used to climb up. So he was so shocked. He fell down from the top of the wall, boom, into the courtyard with a thump. Boom, and he lost his consciousness. He was bleeding everywhere. So Chintamani heard there was a noise in the courtyard, and she sent her servants down, her maidens, and they found Shilana Mishra breathing very slightly. It was clear he was between life and death. They carried him up, and Chintamani saw, oh my God, this has gone too far. This has gone far too far. She personally cleansed his wounds. She asked all her servants, help me. And she began, what have I done? What have I done? I've made this man so out of his mind. He has risked so much just to see me. What have I done? What have I done? What have I done? And she took her veena, her instrument, and did what everyone does when they feel very guilty and very ashamed. She turned to God, and she sang songs for Krishna. And as she sang, and as she asked her servants, give him something to drink, cook some vegetable soup, something. We must save his life. Shilana Mishra came back to life and looked into the eyes of Chintamani. And Chintamani spoke to him. Chintamani saw him, and I've written this down because this is important. He said, she quivered, she trembled. She said, what a fool you are. Although you know all the scriptures, you did not manage to control yourself. And you harmed yourself for a drop of spoiled liquor. You know, when you go for alcohol, it intoxicates you. You drink and you go, but when it's spoiled, when it's bad, it still makes you crazy, but it makes you harmful. And then she turned to herself, shame on me. What I have done? I'm such a sinner. I've cheated men out of their mind and their money. Then she said, Shilana, wake up, see this. You fixed your mind on your body, which is a bag of bones, of flesh, blood, and there's stool inside. If you had fixed your mind only on the lotus feet of Lord Syamasunda, Krishna, I would have considered you to be an intelligent person. Attachment for these temporary objects leads one only to misery, both in this world and in the next. Therefore, beginning tomorrow, I will simply worship the lotus feet of the divine couple. What you do is your own business. So when he heard this, it came It was like a turning point in his life. For most of us, transformation happens slowly, step after step after step, and then we go maybe back a little bit, and then we go continue on and on. But what this person, Shilhala Mishra, experienced was an abrupt, sudden change which totally turned him around. And he was totally, he also decided, from tomorrow onwards, I will turn to Krishna. But I beg you, one last time, let's spend the night together, but singing about Krishna, doing the right things. So, Chintamani knew how to sing. She was a public singer. She led a beautiful kirtan about the Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna. And it is described in Bhaktamala, as a scripture which describes this, that as she was singing, Shilhana and Chintamani saw the pastimes of Krishna before their eyes. In fact, the Bhaktamala says they were roaming with the Lord through Vrindavan. Transformation, sudden transformation. For most of us, it is a gradual process. I'm reminded of Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela, a famous president of South Africa, who stopped apartheid. This is his 100th year of birthday. Was in the beginning of his career trying with weapons and with acts of sabotage, you know, Molotov cocktails and all, to change the government. He was captured and he was brought to the court, and there in the court it was almost sure that they would hang him and his comrades. But the judge said, I won't do you the favor to make you a martyr for the beliefs of the black people to have freedom in this country. I won't allow you to become a martyr by killing you. You will have a lifelong imprisonment on Robben Island. It's an island which is only used for prison. So Nelson Mandela went with a lifelong prison sentence into prison. 27 years or 6 years later, he came out and he was asked by a journalist, what's the difference between the Nelson Mandela who went into prison and who walked out of prison? And he said, I'm a transformed man. When Nelson Mandela went into prison, he was angry. He wanted revenge. He wanted to retaliate all the bad things which the white men did to the black people who own this country. I was into violence, but now I have forgiven them, and I want to end this chain of hatred. I want to end this. I want reconciliation. That's Versöhnung. No? It took him 27 years to come there, because that's not easy to transform so completely. My dear devotees, remember, have you ever come to a turning point in your life where you thought, wow, I'm going to change now. I think it came when you met, when you read a spiritual book, maybe the Bhagavad Gita, and you decided, I'm becoming a devotee. I think all of you came to a turning point. Some people, you give them a little bit. They need to hear one lecture, or they need to be in one kirtan, or they need to see one time the deities with eyes, with the opened eyes, and they turn around and they become saints, from sinners to saints. This was Bilva Mangala. Others may take a longer time. But I think we all have turning points. And I wish you that the turning points will never stop. Maybe during this festival you will catch a turning point in your life. Maybe it happens now. Be very, very attentive. These points, when you step on them, when you contact them, have power. They can turn you from one thing into another thing. Or, if they don't have so much power, let me say like this, if you're not yet so ready for them, they can send you on a proper path. They can give you the right impulses that you also can forgive, that you also can move ahead on your path with strength, giving up all the old burdens which keep you. Turning points are very, very strong. They are very powerful. And whenever you have had a turning point and your faith in spiritual life is increased a little bit, know that you have gotten the greatest treasure which will never be lost. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, a person who has become faithful, you know, who has turned around, has faith now in spiritual life, is not lost in this world or the next. One who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. Then, when he continues, by his sincere efforts, the yogi is purified and perfected, and at last achieves the supreme destination. Therefore, my dear devotees, let us look for these turning points. Bilva Mangala, I will not tell his whole story here, because I want to just read to you just one of the verses. Bilva Mangala paid in the morning, after singing the whole night, his obeisances to Chintamani. Chintamani gave up all she had. She lived in this little, it was something like a little castle, and she went to Haridwar at the banks of the Ganga and performed spiritual life in great earnestness. Bilva Mangala went the next morning to a great Vaishnav devotee, Somagiri, who lived at the banks of the Krishna Veni, and he lived for 1 year in the ashram of Somagiri, and wrote verses or wrote poetry about Krishna. Once Somagiri looked at his poetry and he said, wow, these are words of magic. I will give you a new name, no longer Shilana Mishra. Your name will be Leela Shuka. You are like a parrot, a green parrot who flies directly to the spiritual world and into the pastimes of Krishna. And you describe everything that it comes in alive in my heart. Leela Shukha. And then he also got the name Bilwa Mangala Thakur. After 1 year, he could no longer tolerate being in the ashram. All the time there were relatives coming who looked at him and seeing his wonderful transformation. He felt very repentant. And he just said, I must go. I must go to Vrindavan Dham. And on the way to Vrindavan Dham, he began composing these wonderful verses which form the book of Krishna Kanamrita. Will you allow me to read to you the first verse?
Yes.
Good. Chintamaniya jayati soma kiriya guru me Shiksha gurusha bhagavan shikapi chamoli Yat para kalpatataru palavoshe Yat para kalpataru palava shekareshu lila svayam vararasam labate jayashri. Yes, not forgotten Chintamani from the other bank of the Krishna Veni. He starts with her. All glories to Chintamani. And all glories to my initiating spiritual master Somagiri. All glories to my instructing spiritual master, the supreme personality of Godhead, who wears peacock feathers in his crown. Then he answered, under the shade of his lotus feet, which are like desire trees, Radharani enjoys the transcendent mellow of an eternal concert. There are three gurus he speaks about. My first guru whom I want to praise is Chintamani. She is my Vartma Pradashana guru, the guru who showed me the way. Do you have also such a Vartma Pradashana guru? I have one. His name is Vasudev. He was an artist and a musician. And he was just right to meet me when I was in Hamburg looking for something extraordinary. I only knew I don't want ordinary life. And he helped me. Look at this Krishna consciousness. His next guru was the guru who gave him initiation, Somagiri. And the third guru was Krishna himself, who had appeared before him and had spoken to him. Yes, Krishna appeared on the way to Vrindavan. Bilwa Mangala Thakur became blind. That's another story. I cannot tell it now. Krishna appeared personally and grabbed him by the hand and said, hey, blind man, you're not knowing where you go. Your eyes are full of blood. You come with me. I lead you. And when they came and arrived in Vrindavan, Krishna was regularly coming to hear Bilwa Mangala Thakur's ecstatic songs, which he song. So he said, I'm having three gurus and I want to pay my obeisances to them. Chintamani, who showed me the way, Somagiri, who gave me the sacred initiation, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who led me on my way. He is my Shiksha Guru himself. And then he describes the Lord. He wears a trembling peacock feather, and
His lotus feet are like wish-fulfilling trees. Yes, when we go to Krishna, we should know he can fulfill all our desires. A devotee has usually two kinds of desires. The first desire is he wants to overcome his particular obstacles on his path. And the second desire is, this is his ignorance, his ego, his attachments, his also sometimes dislike of others, dvesha, and his materialistic concepts, which makes him always want a new thing, a new thing, a new thing. So the first thing is we go to Krishna and say, please help me. I'm struggling with these obstacles in my life. My life is difficult. I can't make it on my own. But if you remove the stones from my path, I can go. And the second is which you want from the desire tree of Krishna's lotus feet is you want love. Fill my heart with love, my Lord, with the ecstatic love which is in your heart. Pour it into my heart. That will drive away automatically everything which shouldn't be there. So Lila Shuka could never forget Chintamani, and Chintamani could never forget Lila Shuka. She lived the life of an ascetic woman in Haridwar and heard this Shilana Mishra, who is now known as Lila Shuka and as Bilva Mangala Thakur, has become a saint. He's in Vrindavan. He cries tears of love and ecstasy. Wow, I must see him. And one day, Chintamani arrived in Vrindavan. Bilva Mangala said, you have come. He was very blind, but spiritual people can see everything. Please accept my most humble obeisances. If it would not have been for you, who saved me by singing about the pastimes of my Lord, I would never have awakened. Please sit down now. You must be hungry. I have something for you to eat. So he found a cup, a leaf cup, with sweet rice, and he gave it to Chintamani. Chintamani said, no, I will not take this cup of sweet rice from you. Krishna has given it to you. I have heard that he regularly comes. How can I take what God has given? If he gives something to me, I will take it. Saintly lady. So the two of them waited. They waited one night. They talked about Krishna. And in the morning, Krishna could not keep himself away any longer. He came with the second cup of sweet rice and gave it to Chintamani. And only then the two ate. My dear devotees, the ways of the Lord are sometimes extraordinary. The way he brings us to our turning point are sometimes unusual. We do not understand it. It doesn't fit into our concepts, our ideas. But they are all. But wherever Krishna comes, the darkness
will go. Whenever the sun rises anywhere, at any place, wheresoever, the darkness has to go. So whatever is your situation in life, you may be high, you may be low, you may be very advanced, and you may believe very strongly in the Lord, or you may have a very, very strong practice, or you may be a beginner. You may be desperate, you may be happy, you may be wrong or you may be right. It does not matter. If you put, allow the light of Krishna to come into your heart, and if you serve him, then he will definitely lift you to a situation beyond your boldest imagination. Those who are practicing a spiritual path and who have given their promises to themselves, to others, should definitely keep this intact. To show the Lord that they really want him. But no matter what is the situation, the Lord is very, very merciful. Therefore, I will pray this evening that all of you will come, who have come to this wonderful festival, will get some light in their hearts, something which guides them, so that they know what is their next steps in life, in the life, and that they move forward with strength and with that sweet, sweet force which we call kripa or mercy. Look at Shilhana Mishra. He got the mercy of Krishna, not of Narayan, not of Vishnu. He got the mercy of Krishna, so that although he had been an impersonalist, a Mayavadi, we would say, who could not stop his material desires when they became so strong, and although he had sinned, he had been the cause of his father's death, of his wife's death, although he had been very materialistic, and I have purposefully not told you what he did when he was in this materialistic phase. You can imagine. But even he got the Kripa Shakti, the mercy of Krishna. And for me, my dear devotees, this Kripa Shakti is the reason why I am on this path, on the path of worshipping Krishna. There's something available which is not available on the yoga path, on the path of meditation, on the way of meditative absorption. It's the mercy of God, because it's on that devotional path where this is, where you call for this, and where it is available. It is available from the tender heart of Krishna. It is said in our scriptures that of all the Shaktis of the Lord, there's one which is supreme. There is the Srishti Shakti, that means the energy which creates unlimited universes. There is the destructive Shakti, which destroys all the universes. There are many Shaktis, but there's the knowledge Shakti, the Jnana Shakti, there's the Kriya Shakti. Oof. God, the Lord is surrounded by his Shaktis.
But of all of them, the Kripa Shakti, that is the mercy Shakti, is the highest. That is our hope. That is why we celebrate Jamashtami. We are knowing our Lord is a merciful Lord, and we will celebrate Him like anything, with joy and with colors and with dance and sing, and we will eat and we will laugh and we will talk with others. We will change our perspectives by good discussions, and we will hopefully come out of this festival with much more light in the heart than when we entered it. Shri Krishna Jamashtami ki jai. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Shri Radha Krishna ki jai. Gaura Premanandi Hare Hare Bol. Yes,